Hi, beloved. Welcome to another episode of Telatable. The title of today's blog post is God Wants to Help You. I hope you're well. Wherever you may find yourself today, in this moment, I'm here to remind you that you have a helper who is not only able to help you, but is willing. God wants to help you. He desires to be your strength, your shield, your refuge, your everything. He has consistently proven this over and over again, and the Holy Spirit residing within us is evidence of his advocacy for us. He is for us. He is for you, friend. Believe it. Well, some weeks ago, I felt a push to study the context of a verse that just kept staring up in my heart. And while studying it, so many things lit up to me that I've been eager and excited to share with you. So today's my chance. It is Bible story time, and I pray that this blesses you as much as it blessed me, in the mighty name of Jesus. All right, let's open up with the verse that reeled me in, and it's our anchor verse for today. The eyes of the Lord search the whole earth in order to strengthen those whose hearts are fully committed to him. That's 2 Chronicles 16, verse 9. This verse got my attention in a special way, and I'll tell you why. It's because this is not a verse that talks about man looking for the help of God, and there are many of those. This verse talks about our God, the creator of the entire universe, choosing to go out of his way in order to search for people to help. I don't know about you, but pondering on that verse, it amazes me. There is kindness and help that we as human beings offer when we are pressured to do so. There are times that we actually inconvenience ourselves to help people because we simply cannot ignore or overlook their needs. In times like that, though we've done a good thing, our motives may be more self-centered than we realize. Perhaps we gave so that we don't feel guilty. Perhaps we helped so that we don't disappoint people and earn a poor reputation. However, to go around looking for people to give to help and strengthen with no benefit to you, is a different level of love and kindness. That's the God kind of love, selfless. And that's what's perfectly expressed in this verse. The Lord is not only looking in your home, city, town, state, country, etc., to find people to help. He's actually searching throughout the entire earth to give to men who have the heart posture to receive. So I did a deeper dive into the context of this verse because I wondered, like, what is the story behind the utterance of this profound statement? And the story was interesting to say the least. And it's loaded with lessons that we can apply today. So I strongly recommend that you take the time to read it for yourself. It's found in 2 Chronicles chapter 14 to chapter 16. But for the purpose of today's post, I'll give you a recap. So, story time. There was a king of Judah called Asa. Hopefully I'm pronouncing that right, because I don't know if it's Asa or Asa, but this king began to reign when his father, King Abijah, died. In the midst of a dynasty of kings recorded in 2 Chronicles who blatantly rebelled against God and his principles, the Bible records that King Asa did what was pleasing and good in the sight of the Lord his God. Asa was different. He ruled with integrity and he made it his mission to turn the hearts of the people of Judah towards God by destroying altars and idols that had been set up to pagan gods. He commanded the people of Judah to see God and obey his commandments. As a result of his dedication and consecration to the Lord, God actually granted the entire kingdom peace for years. Matter of fact, scripture says it this way, that the Lord was giving him rest from his enemies. How beautiful. Simply put, Asa's heart was right towards God, and he ruled, leading the people to repentance, and the Lord rewarded him with rest for it. However, sometime after, an Ethiopian army of 1 million men attacked Judah. Asa deployed his armies, but then he did something very important. He cried out to the Lord, saying, "O Lord, no one but you can help the powerless against the mighty. Help us, O Lord our God, for we trust in you alone. It is in your name that we have come against this vast horde. O Lord, you are our God. Do not let mere men prevail against you. That's 2 Chronicles 14, verse 11. What is recorded after Asa's plea is the defeat of the Ethiopian army by the hand of the Lord. God heard him, and God helped him. Not only did the people of Judah stand victorious in battle, they left with a vast amount of plunder. There were camels, sheep, and even goats that they confiscated from the Ethiopians. If I were to translate this simply, Asa won, and he won big because God fought for him. Now, stay with me now. We're going somewhere significant with this, I promise, because this story takes an unexpected twist. Hang on. Now, this part is a very important point to note because we are going to refer back to this later. After the great victory, as Asa was returning from battle, the Spirit of God came upon a man called Azariah, who then went to Asa with a word from the Lord. In essence, Azariah told Asa that the Lord will stay with him as long as Asa stayed with him, and that Asa would find the Lord when he seeks him. He subsequently warned, however, that if Asa abandons God, God will abandon Asa. Now, if you ask me, this is interesting timing because this message came to Asa right after he had already put his trust in God and seen the reward of that. So you and I would think that Asa already knew to seek the Lord. Well, this message from God stirred up Asa's heart even more, and he went ahead to establish even firmer reforms, leading the people to enter into covenant with the Lord, promising to seek him continually with all their heart, their soul, and mind. Asa was so moved that he led his people to a place of commitment and consecration to the Lord. Now, fast forward to years after enjoying peace in the land again, and by my calculations, I would say that after the Ethiopian War, Judah probably enjoyed about 25 years of peace. But then unrest struck again. This time, there was an invasion into Judah by the king of Israel, and Asa's response was very different. This time around, King Asa responded by desecrating the Lord's temple. Yes, the Lord who helped him the first time, yes. He went ahead to remove the silver and gold from the treasuries of the temple of the Lord and the royal palace, and he sent them to the king of Aram at the time, who was called Ben-Hadad, to contract his help. He used the silver and gold to make a treaty with Ben-Hadad, requiring that Aram would then break their treaty with Israel in order to leave Israel defenseless. So this time, his first call for help was to his fellow man, and he used God's treasures to get it. Ben-Hadad, the king of Aram, agreed to this treaty and actually rallied up the commanders of his army to attack Israel. And then God sent a seer named Hanani to Asa with a message reminding Asa of his previous confession when he had defeated the Ethiopians. He said, "Don't you remember what happened to the Ethiopians and the Libyans and their vast army with all of the chariots and charioteers? At that time, you relied on the Lord and he handed them over to you." That's in 2 Chronicles 16, verse 8. And these are the words that precede our anchor verse, which we read earlier. Later on, right after that, the Lord said to him, "What a fool you have been. From now on, you will be at war." Considering the mercy and victory that Asa had experienced from the Lord previously, one might expect that he would be repentant. But he wasn't. Instead, he became angry and directed his anger towards the messenger, Hanani the seer, so much so that he threw him into prison. Not only that, but Asa began to oppress the very people that he led into covenant with God. He had what I would call misdirected anger. The demise of Asa was tragic, and what sucks the most is that he died refusing to turn back to the Lord, who was waiting eagerly to help him. In the 39th year of his reign as king, Asa even developed a severe foot disease, and he still refused to turn to the Lord. Instead, he sought help only from the physicians. He turned to man yet again. Eventually, he died in the 41st year of his reign as king, refusing to seek the Lord for help. Now, if you remember what we said before about the message the Lord spoke through Azariah, it may be obvious why the Lord sent him at such a seemingly unfitting time in the middle of victory to warn Asa to stay with him. God knew that a time was coming when Asa would once again need his help, and he sent men to forewarn him about the danger of abandoning him. Now, there are no shortage of lessons that I got from this story, but I'll share a few things that caught my attention. Number one, starting from the last thing we spoke about, concerning the forewarning, it was a reminder that there are times where God gives us a word or an instruction today that may seem non-applicable to our current circumstances. And that's because there are safeguards for tomorrow. Stay with the word that God has given you because it has purpose, even if you may not see it yet. Just like Asa, also, it is very possible to lead people into truth and still disqualify yourself. It reminds me of Paul's statement in 1 Corinthians 9 verse 27. He said, "I discipline my body like an athlete, training it to do what it should. Otherwise, I fear that after preaching to others, I myself might be disqualified." This is essentially what happened to Asa. And this is why it's so important to not only study the word and listen to God, but to meditate on his word. You have to be intentional to ensure that the word goes from your head, which is knowledge, down into your heart. That is conviction and revelation that results in a change of heart posture and out through your hands, putting into practice what it is that you've received. Head to heart to hands. This story also emphasized to me the need to remember. Now listen, if you read the Old Testament, then you know that forgetfulness was a major factor that caused the Israelites to continually rebel against God. And the same thing applied to Asa. Asa knew better. He had experienced firsthand what it means to be helped by God. But it appears he forgot. You and I must make it a practice to cast our minds back and revisit the revelations that the Lord has given us. Journal, set up altars, document your stories, do the necessary to make sure that you do not forget what God has said to you and done for you. Another lesson that beamed in this story is the need to repent. Oof, people, you're not too far gone. God responds to repentance. God responds to genuine repentance. He's waiting for you to come back. Asa had opportunity after opportunity to return to the Lord after his error, but he continued going down the wrong path. Immediately, there's a verse that comes to my mind. It's in Jeremiah 8 verses 4. And it further buttresses this point. It says this: "When people fall down, don't they get up again? When they discover they're on the wrong road, don't they turn back? Then why do these people stay on their self-destructive path?" Finally, one thing that Asa did that was not pleasing to God was his immediate reliance on men for help. Now listen, I do not believe that there's anything wrong in receiving help through men, but our primary source must be God. Men are resources through which God provides. And one of Asa's faults was that he resorted to men without consulting God. There are several verses that show God's stance on that, some of which I will highlight at the end of today's post. But suffice to say that trusting in men will always be unreliable. Let your alliances be directed by the Spirit of God. There are many things that hinder us from receiving God's help. It may be condemnation, shame, pride, ego, timidity, or maybe even doubt. Asa's story is a prime example of a man that missed out on the help of God because he succumbed to pride. God was waiting on him to ask, just like he's waiting on you and I. Will you call out and let the Lord answer? Or will you choose to live well beneath your privilege? We both know what the better option is. Use your advantage, friend. If you fell off, repent. He's waiting for you. God is a very present help in times of need. David was a man helped by God. I am a woman helped by God, but it won't stop there. I will continue to be a woman helped by God till the very end because I will not hesitate to call on my helper. So help me, God. And I encourage you to do the same. The help that you need is waiting on you to access it. Let God help you. It'll surprise you just how much you've been missing out on. The Holy Spirit, our advocate, is called our helper for just that reason. I hope and pray that today's post blessed you. Don't forget to read the scripture reference for yourself. I've also added more references below, which I'll go ahead to read for your meditation. Isaiah chapter 30 verses 1 to 2 says this: "You make plans that are contrary to mine. You make alliances not directed by my spirit, thus piling up your sins." This was God speaking. Isaiah chapter 31 verse 1 says this: "What sorrow awaits those who look to Egypt for help, trusting their horses, their chariots and charioteers, and depending on the strength of human armies instead of looking to the Lord, the Holy One of Israel." Psalm 46 verse 1 says, "God is our refuge and our strength, always ready to help in times of trouble." Psalms 146 verses 3 says, "Don't put your confidence in powerful people. There is no help for you there." Psalms 118 verses 7 to 9 says, "Yes, the Lord is for me. He will help me. I will look in triumph at those who hate me. It is better to take refuge in the Lord than to trust in people. It is better to take refuge in the Lord than to trust in princes." Jeremiah chapter 17 verse 5 says, "Cursed are those who put their trust in mere humans, who rely on human strength and turn their hearts away from the Lord." Jeremiah 2 verses 13 says, "For my people have done two evil things. They have abandoned me, the fountain of living water, and they have dug for themselves cracked cisterns that can hold no water at all." Finally, we have Proverbs chapter 3 verse 5 says, "Trust in the Lord your God with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. Acknowledge him in all your ways and he will direct your path." Guys, I love you. God loves you immensely more and immeasurably more. Don't forget to ask the Lord for help. Take the time to subscribe. If this blessed you, share it with somebody else. And I look forward to catching you in the next episode of Telatable.